Open your Bibles, please. Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. I got mine paper clipped here. Doc, let me use your Bible, would you please? N-I-D, is that it? Isaiah chapter 14. Where is Isaiah? I'll find it in a minute. Verse 13. Look at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Our Heavenly Father, make this service valuable to each of us and to all of us, as we think of this, what I think is a very, very important subject. Amen. I want to talk to you today on what I think is demon possession. I am sorry that the charismatics have messed up so many things. There is not an influence, a negative influence in America today as bad on Christianity as this charismatic mess. These TV evangelists and so forth and charismatic. Now, I want you to let me have your reasoning for a while. I want to reason with you, and I want you to logic with me for a while as I talk to you about demon possession. Demon possession is not what we used to call them holy rollers. They're sort of unholy rollers now. Say it is. But I want to tell you what I think it is. I'm going to give you several statements. Number one, Satan was at one time God's right-hand deputy. Originally, there were three groups of angels, listen to me, three groups of angels and three archangels, each group having an archangel as its leader. There was a group of angels, I think, known as the messengers of God under the archangel Gabriel. There was a group of angels known, I think, as the fighters of God under the archangel Michael. That's the crowd I want to be if I ever become an angel. Then there was the group under Lucifer. Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel, the three archangels. And each of them over one-third of all the angels. According to Ezekiel 28 and 14, Lucifer was the anointed one. He was the top one. The anointed one. That's what it says. It says, thou art the anointed one, Lucifer. So Lucifer, and by the way, he was a good guy. He was on our side. He was God's right-hand deputy. With the passing of time, I guess you'd say time, Lucifer decided that he wanted to become the king of heaven. He wanted to be at least equal with God. Isaiah 14:13, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And the stars of God sometimes represent the angels, according to Revelation 1:19 and 20. But anyway, he said, I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God, where that means that stars in the heavens or the angel doesn't matter. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation and in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the top of the clouds. I was trying to read that word there, the something of the clouds. What is that? Heights, yeah, I abbreviated it, and I got HGTS there. I will ascend against the hujitas of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He declared war on God, and no doubt with his one-third of the angelic host, marshaled an army. Look at me now, marshaled an army, and a revolution to take over heaven. He said, I will ascend to the sides of the north. That proves that Lucifer was a Yankee. I'm going to preach the Bible whether you like it or not, folks. But anyway, a great war followed. Lucifer was defeated in that war and consigned to hell. In fact, the verse after the ones I read a while ago, thou shalt, look at me now, thou shalt be brought down to hell. That's what it means in Matthew 25:41. Then should it say to those on the left hand, depart from me, an everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For when the devil lost the war of rebellion against God, God immediately prepared a place for his eternity and for the eternity of his angels. Prepared for the devil and his angels. Don't miss me now and keep following my logic. I said, number one, Satan was God's right-hand deputy. He was the anointed cherub, one of three archangels, God's right-hand deputy. I said, number two, he wanted to be king. Number three, he was consigned to hell. Number four, now here's the message. Number four, knowing he is doomed, he wants to hurt God all he can. The God that he hates, nobody hates God like Satan does. And nobody knows God like Satan does. For Satan was his right-hand deputy. But because he failed in his effort, probably his effort not to take over heaven but become equal with God in heaven, because of that, he was defeated and consigned to hell. And knowing his doom, he wants to hurt the God that he hates. Now, he knows that the only way he can hurt God, listen to me now, the only way he can hurt God is through God's children. That's the only way he can. He ponders, how can I hurt God's children? I can't get them from God, he says. That's pretty good news. I can't get them from God. For the Bible says that God holds us in his hand and no man can pluck them out of God's hand. So, the devil says, if I could, I'd take every single one of God's people to hell, and that's what he's trying to do. But he wants mainly to hurt God through his own children. Anybody who's a parent understands that. So he says, I can't get God's children from God, says the devil, for myself. So, I know what I'll do. I'll try to get his children like myself. I cannot get them for myself, so I'll try to get them like myself. Now, Satan is total selfishness. I will exalt. I will rise. I will take over heaven. He is total selfishness. So, he says, I will do my best. Satan says, if I can't get God's children for myself, I'll get God's children for their self. I at least can get them away from God, not salvation. But he said, I want God's children to be for themselves. Actually, he wants me to be for me. That's what Isaiah 53:6 says. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. You listen to me? Devil's not trying to get you to follow his way. The truth is, he don't give a flip what way you follow, as long as you don't follow God's way. He's not trying to get you on a way. He's trying to get you off of a way. So he says, I'll get you off of God's way. So he says, look, you go whatever way you want to go. and you go whatever way you want to go, and you go whatever way you want to go, and you go whatever way you want to go, and you go whatever way you want to go, and you go whatever way you want to go. I'm not saying, says the devil, go my way. I have no way. The only thing I want you to do is not go God's way, so go your own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. Didn't say we've turned everyone to the devil's way, so we turn everyone to his own way. The devil is not trying to get you to worship him. He's trying to get you to worship yourself. That's what he said to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He came to Eve and said, look, eat that fruit, and you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. What he's saying is this. You'll be as gods, knowing what's good and knowing what's evil, or you'll be able to determine yourself what's good and what's evil. Let me ask you a question. Is he having luck with you? But I just don't see the rules. Is he having any luck with you? That's not the way I see it. Is he having any luck with you? The entire educational system in America, including the so-called Christian educational system, is every man is searching for himself. Every man decides that which is right and wrong in his own eyes, and that's exactly what the devil said to Eve. He said, you eat this fruit and you'll be as gods, you and Adam will be as gods, knowing good and evil, or deciding yourself what is good and evil. And Satan said, I can't get you from myself, I can't get you from God, but tell you what I will do, I'll get you. Listen, look at me, get that distance to look off your face, look at me, the devil's after you. And the devil's not trying to get you to go his way, he's trying to get you to go your way. Because he knows that he's not very attractive, and he knows he can't get you to go his way more than likely, but he knows that he gets you to go your own way. And he said to Eve in the Garden of Eden, you'll be his gods. You can decide what's right. You can decide what's wrong. He says, listen carefully now. Listen carefully. He says, do not yield yourself to God. Now, wait a minute. Hold it a minute. It's pretty hard to yield yourself to God because I never have seen him. You never have seen him. So, God says to a child, you yield yourself to God, and the child says, how do I do it? And God says, I'm placing a deputy in the home called Father. I'm placing his helpmeet called Mother. And the way you yield yourself to God, children, is yield yourself to Mom and Dad. So, when a child does not obey Mom and Dad, he has become his own God. He is totally selfish, thinking he knows what's best. Well, how about a wife? Wife says, how can I yield myself to God? Look at me, folks. How can I yield myself to God? And God said, I will do. I'll place a deputy in the home called a husband. I'll let that husband represent me. And the wife is supposed to subject herself to her husband and submit herself to her husband. You know, this is the one area where fundamental Baptists have just about evaded. I mean, the truth is, that woman right there is to obey that man right there. That's why I brought her up here. Now, I'm saying that today that the way the wife obeys God is submitting herself to her husband. I don't care how good a Sunday school teacher you are. I don't care how good a Bible lecturer you are. I don't care how good a speaker you are. I don't care how good a soloist you are. You're not right with God if you're married and don't subject yourself to your own husband. Now, you say, well, I know what's best for my life. That's exactly what the devil wants. He wants you to reject the authority of God and all of God's appointed deputies. Somebody says in the church, how can a church obey God? God said, I'll place a deputy behind the pulpit. And that deputy will be answerable to me. So you follow that deputy. Now, if he doesn't do what he ought to do, you don't have to vote him out. I'll take care of him. That's what God said. I'll take care of him. And boy, he's got ways to do it. I'll take care of him.
But he says, I am giving you a boss at work. I am giving you a father in the home, a husband in the home, a mother in the home, a pastor in the church. And they are my assigned deputies for you to obey. Now listen carefully. He says, do not yield yourself to anybody's will but your own. Are you listening to me? I'll do my own thing, and you are a fool. The devil's not trying to put you on skid row. The devil's not trying to put you on lower wacker drive. That's not his best job. The devil's trying to convince you that you have a mind of your own and that you can make your own decisions. You'll look and you'll reason and decide what's good and what's bad. For example, God says thou shalt not commit adultery. But you say, well, we love each other anyway. And we're going to get together, and I'm going to say I'm going to spend my life with you. We won't go down to just the peace or the preacher or the courthouse to get a license. But God sees us as married. You've got a hole all the way through your big head. God doesn't see you. But you say, that's the way it seems to me. My Bible says twice, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. But the devil says, I want you. And boy, that's a good way to appeal to somebody. Hey, you're no dummy. You got a mind of your own. You decide whether you're a man. You decide whether the long hair is right or not. Don't let 1 Corinthians 11:14 tell you. Or you decide, ladies, whether you're supposed to wear garments pertaining to a man or not. You decide. You have a perfect right. No, you don't have a right to decide. It's already been decided. So the devil, originally an archangel, the devil wanted to take over heaven. He declared war on God, was defeated, consigned to hell, and he said, okay, I'm going to hell. I know that. I'll spend eternity in hell. I know that. But on my way to hell, I'm going to hurt God all I can. And I know how to get to God. I know how much God loves His children. I know what God thinks of His own blood-washed ones. I'll get to them, and I'll hurt them. When I hurt them, that's going to hurt God. So he comes and he says, hey, Joe. Hey, Bill. Hey, you got a mind of your own. Decide for yourself. Now, to whatever degree, to whatever degree you do this, you are possessed to that degree by the devil. Now, a Christian can't be totally demon-possessed because the devil can't get your spirit. He can't get the new nature. That's settled, boy. He can't get to that. And because he knows he can't get the new nature, he tries to get the old nature. And he tries to get the old nature to say, I'll decide. Let me tell you something, my young friend. Anybody who ever takes off all authority and shirks off all authority is as near possessed by the devil as a Christian can be. Jesus said to Peter, Luke 22:31, the devil hath desired to have thee. Have, that means possess. The devil has desired to have thee. Now, what would the devil want to do? All we like sheep are going astray, but turn everyone to his own way. Eve, you'll be as a god. Adam, you'll be as a god, knowing good and evil. You decide whether you'll eat that fruit or not. You're the one in charge of your life. And so the devil comes today, and the devil says, think of yourself. Now listen carefully to me. To whatever degree you're selfish, to that degree the devil has you or possesses you.
And brother, I'll tell you what, it's time that we started casting out some of these devils rather than all the spooks they got in these charismatic churches. I'd like for them to cast out some of these witches they got as wives. But now let me tell you something, folks. I am offended. That is a part of demon possession. I didn't get what I deserved. That is a part of demon possession. The devil's after you to be concerned about you. And listen, Jesus, his total unselfishness, he laid down his life. On the cross, the first thing he said was, Father, forgive them. The second thing he said was, Behold thy son, and son, behold thy mother. The third thing he said, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Jesus, bearing the sins of the whole world in his body on the tree, thought of the other people, and Jesus is total unselfishness, and the devil is total selfishness, and to whatever degree you're selfish, to that degree, the devil has you. How about me? That's partial demon possession. I have my rights. I am a black man and I have my rights. Yes, sir, black man, you ought to go to hell and burn forever like white people ought to too. You haven't got any rights. White people don't have any rights. God is the only one that has any rights. I'm a queer. I'm not, but I'm a queer and I have my rights. I'd like to give you a right cross. Well, I'm a Native American. I have my rights. And I'm a woman. I have my rights. And I'm a Mexican. I have my rights. And I'm a Polack. I have my rights. I have my rights. I have my rights. The whole world's going to hell because of one little word, and that's I. I don't like him. I don't like him. You listen to me. That's as childish as eating pablum. Grow up! Listen to me. I don't like him. That is a step toward being possessed by the devil. I can't get along with my roommate. Don't laugh at that. Don't laugh at it. That is a step toward demon possession. It is selfishness. I didn't get what I wanted. I didn't get the room I ought to have. I didn't get the space I ought to have. I have not been treated properly by the dorm suit. That's what they said in Isaiah 14, 13, and 14. I will ascend to the above the heavens. I will arise above the heights of the clouds. I will exalt myself. Now you listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. You will be yielded to the devil to the same extent that you are selfish. I got cheated. That's mine. I deserve that job. I was mistreated. I don't like her. I won't speak to him. I won't speak to her. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's more than just a little sin. That is exactly what the devil tried to get Eve to do in the Garden of Eden. And that's exactly what he's trying to get you to do. The devil wants you selfish because to whatever extent you're selfish, to that extent, you're possessed by him. Selfishness. Self-centeredness. Self-awareness. Self-praise. Self-perpetuating. Self-pity.
self-conceit, self-will, self-reliance, self-righteous, self-satisfied, self-seeking, self-serving, self-sufficient. All those are tools of the devil to get you. Let me tell you something. You don't have to smoke cigarettes for the devil to have you. You don't have to take a drink of whiskey for the devil to have you. And you haven't got to listen to rock music for the devil to have you. There's some people in this room right here today that never listen to rock music, never go to a movie, never smoke a cigarette. As clean as you can be, keep all the rules of Howells Anderson College, and as clean as you can be, and yet the devil's just about got you because all you think about is yourself. Years ago, when Salvation Army was in its early days, its founder, General William Booth, was getting up in years. They had a great national convention, 5,000 delegates assembled for the national convention. Word came that General Booth was not well. He was blind and not well, nearly blind. Moderator got the idea that they would ask General Booth to send a telegram or a message to be read at the opening of the Great Convention because for the first time in its history, its founder and leader, General Booth, could not be there. General Booth agreed to do so. The moderator gaveled the first session to order. 5,000 delegates, he said, ladies and gentlemen, delegates of the Salvation Army Convention, our founder and our leader, General Booth, is not able to be here for the first time in our history. I have asked him to send a message to us to be read to open our convention. And this is the message. Dear delegates of the Salvation Army Convention, others, signed, General Booth. It's fun to have your way. It's more fun to let the other fellow have his way. It's fun to have your rights. It's more fun to fight for his rights. It's fun to insist for what's yours. It's more fun to give in and let him have what's his. You know the story, old story. I love it. Aesop's Fables. One of Aesop's Fables. The birds were going, so look at me. The birds were going south for the winter. They're on their way down to southern Indiana, on their way to Florida to spend the winter. As they passed over a creek down in southern Indiana, a little frog sat down there in the quagmire of the creek. The little frog looked up. He saw those birds flying. He said, I sure wish I could go to Florida or south for the winter. I'm stuck here in this creek in the quagmire of this cold north Midwestern area. I wish I could go south for the winter. And then the frog thought of an idea. I will signal the birds. I will get some of those birds to come down here. So he signaled up and two birds saw him and they came down to the little creek in southern Indiana where the frog was stuck in the quagmire. And they said, what is it? And the frog said, I wish I could go south. They said, well, you can't fly. We can. The frog said, I got an idea though. You get a long string. And Mr. Bird over here, you put the end of that string over here in your mouth and over this one, you put the string in the end of your mouth. And I'll just put my mouth over the middle of that string. And I can go south with you for the winter. And the birds thought that was a good idea. One bird got one end of the string, another bird got the other end of the string, and the frog put his mouth around the middle of the string and they took off. And they're going to Florida. They got down over Georgia. A farmer was out working in the field. He looked up and could not believe what he saw. He saw two birds carrying a string and a frog holding on to the middle with his mouth. And the farmer looked up and he said, Wow. What an idea. Wow. Brilliant idea. I wonder who was so brilliant as to think of that. And the frog said, And the frog spent the winter in Georgia. And that's your trouble. And that's what caused the Adam's fall. And that's what caused the devil's fall. And that's what caused Eve's fall. And that's what will cause your fall. I, me, my, mine, we, us, ours. That is of the devil. I'm talking about worse than liquor. I'm talking about worse than adultery. I'm talking about worse than dope. Because all of those things are only a part of the I picture. I want the thrill of being high. I want the thrill of touching a girl's body. I want the thrill of having premarital sex. I want the thrill of getting drunk. I want the thrill of dancing. I want the thrill of rock music. I. Ladies and gentlemen, nobody has ever been happy trying to live for I. And to whatever extent that you live for yourself, to that extent, you're demon-possessed. I'm talking to some people today that are on their way to demon possession. Not total. The Christian can't be totally demon-possessed. But possession by the devil means that you have listened to his argument. You decide. You know, dummy. You're smarter than Dr. Evans is. You're smarter than Brother Hyams. You're smarter than Dr. Jorgensen. Of course, everybody's that. You're smarter than Dr. Young. You're smarter than the faculty. Or you're on the faculty and you're smarter than the administration. To that extent, now you listen to me. To that extent, the devil has you. And I promise you this, there's not been one person in the history of mankind who's ever been happy thinking about himself. Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord. Yes, others. Let this my motto be. Lord, let me live for others, that I may live like Thee. Jesus, dying. Father, forgive them. Woman, behold thy son. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Total self-abasement. I will exalt. I will rise. I will ascend. Total self-awareness. To whatever degree you have crucified yourself or allowed the Holy Spirit to do so, to that degree you live for others. And to whatever degree you're selfish, to that degree the devil has you. One of these days I'm going to preach a whole year and not even mention liquor or rock music. And I'm going to preach on selfishness a whole year. How you getting along in your dorm? How you getting along with your family? How you getting along with your parents?